With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we are debating going into orbit. Soon. For Starship. However, Bob Zimmerman is here to give us a timeline that we can use and not be disappointed with. Bob keeps the website Behind the Black, and we're all eyes on Starship, SpaceX, and a launch that is the predicate for much more travel, maybe to the moon, maybe to Mars. Bob, for some time, you have very carefully explicated the signs out of Boca Chica, looking to a Starship launch for orbital flight. However, what's happened? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, back in like May, Elon Musk announced that they were targeting a July orbital flight. And everybody, including me, who looks at this business, said that's not realistic. By the end of June, I was saying, well, you know, it's not realistic, but at the pace they're going, maybe we'll see something happen by the end of the summer. And then by the end of the summer, it became very obvious they weren't going to get it that done that soon. And it became obvious in addition at that time that regulatory issues with the FAA might delay it outside of engineering. And I'll get to that in our next story. And so we've been looking at a fall launch possibly. But nothing much has been happening in terms of engine tests on the Starship or the Super Heavy booster in the last three or four months. Most of the work's been focusing on building their launch pad, their orbital launch pad. And to a certain extent, that makes sense. If they were doing static fire tests of their engines, they can't work on the launch pad. So by not doing engine tests, they can focus on getting their launch pad finished. And they got to get it finished before the orbital flight. So, each feeds the other. However, it still had looked like before the end of this year, they'll be able to fly. Once again, pending FAA regulatory issues we'll get to. But there was a story this week about a NASA proposal to observe and measure the temperatures on the Starship thermal protection blankets under the spacecraft as it returns to Earth on that orbital flight. And those documents, that proposal, says that they're targeting a March 22 flight. Now, this could be one of these slip-ups in NASA that everyone at NASA inside business knows that it really isn't going to happen until March, and they're not supposed to say, but this paper said it. March flight means it's perfectly reasonable. Again, at pace SpaceX goes, that's not unreasonable. What it does do is it almost certainly will put a Starship launch orbital flight after SLS, which is now aiming for January, February. And I always wonder in cases like this if there is real effort at NASA, which will be very embarrassed if Starship goes ahead of SLS, if there are forces at NASA trying to slow Starship down enough so that SLS will go first. So anyway, we don't know yet if this is true. This is a document that isn't by SpaceX. It's from an independent NASA proposal, but it does indicate March is the date, John.
There is a hearing, an FAA hearing. To what end, Bob? What is the concern?
All right, this is getting back to the FAA regulatory issues that I mentioned for Starship. When SpaceX first got its environmental assessment for its facility at Boca Chica from the FAA back when they first started almost a decade plus ago, they were focused on launching Falcon 9s from this location. But in the last 5 years, they've made a decision to make this the spaceport for Starship and Super Heavy. And because of that change, the FAA said we've got to do a environmental reassessment because this is a different kind of operation. And that assessment was a proposed assessment was released by the FAA about 3 weeks ago, which gave SpaceX approval, but that's a proposed assessment. And in order to get it finalized, FAA's got to hold hearings, and it's also got to take public comment in a number of ways. And so they have been – the comment period is open right now. It's going to last through November. And they had the first of two hearings this past week in which they had 3 hours of comment from the public. Each speaker got about 3 minutes. And according to news stories that I've read about this, most of the comments were positive. You had the typical scattered handful of environmental activists who are anti-development opposing this. But most of the people who were commenting were very much in favor of it, including people that were begging the FAA to approve this because it is going to save the economy of Brownsville and Boca Chica, which has been very depressed for many, many years. So now they're going to have a second hearing tomorrow for more public comment. The comment period ends November, and then they have to do a workshop to decide how to revise the assessment, and then they release it. And this could very well be why the Starship orbital flight might not happen till March, because SpaceX has got to wait for FAA to get off its duff and sign off on this.
China has a non-transparent space program because it's all mixed with the military. So we'll do two stories, one military, one not. China's put three Taikonauts, I believe they call them, in their space station, which is the limit, Bob, is my memory. Is that correct?
I'm not sure if that's the limit on the number of people they can put up there, but at this moment, that's what they're doing. They are not yet rotating crews out. A crew goes up, the crew comes down, and this is only the second crew that's going up there. And in both cases, the crew returned, and then the second crew up. This crew is going to be there for 6 months. They're going to do a whole bunch of different things, including two or three spacewalks to continue the assembly. While they're up there, two more major modules are going to be launched in that six-month mission. Those modules will be launched by the Long March 5, which will, of course, have a upper stage, which will crash on the Earth somewhere uncontrolled. So we have to be looking out for our heads in the next 6 months, John, because things are going to come crashing down on us. But they're up there, and they're doing their work, and everything went well, John, and we'll see how that goes.
Now, Long March 5, I believe, was also used for the surprise launch of a hypersonic missile.
No, actually not, John. This is the hypersonic story. In the last few days, the Financial Times had a big story this past weekend saying that the Chinese tested a hypersonic glide weapon, ballistic missile, that basically completed a circling of the globe and then missed its target by about 24 miles. And they, according to the Financial Times article, it was launched on a Long March rocket in August, and they didn't say what kind of rocket. That Financial Times story, I have questions about this. First of all, it's only anonymous sources, so we don't know who really said this, and I don't trust anonymous sources ever. And no confirmed reports from anybody would give their name. And secondly, they said it flew in August. Well, I have an essay on Behind the Black War. I looked at every single Chinese launch in August, and absolutely none of them could have been this a hypersonic flight, because every single one of them launched a payload, and that payload is still in orbit. If it was the hypersonic, it would have been a payload that would have immediately returned to Earth, and that would have been recorded. So there's not evidence of that. So it could be the Financial Times had the date wrong, but that doesn't seem likely to me. So I have doubts this actually happened, John. I am always suspicious of anonymous report stories like this, because it's a typical tactic. We have much evidence of this in the last half decade of the military and intelligence sources in the United States manipulating the press with disinformation for the purposes of lobbying Congress to get more money. And it was very evident right after the story came out. You had plenty of people in the military screaming, oh, my God, the Chinese are deadly here. We have to get more money to fight them. So I have doubts that this actually happened, John. That's the best I can say.
We'll come back to this, Bob, because a lot of cages, and I see a lot of articles coming out of Washington. We'll go now to positive news. I think Monaco establishes a Bureau of Space Affairs. Now, Monaco, that's the gambling den, right? That's all?
Yeah, it's a resort. You know, this is a tiny country in the coast of Africa that basically for most of its recent history depended on tourism and gambling to attract business. Well, the Wuhan panic has shut them down. They're probably doing very poorly, and they're suffering, I'm sure, from that. And so this week, the Monaco government announced that they're creating a Bureau of Space Affairs, and it's aimed at encouraging commercial space operations to come to Monaco. In some ways, this is mimicking what Luxembourg has been doing now for almost decades to try to bring business and money and corporations to their tiny country for the purpose of investment. The actual space work goes on elsewhere, but the money changing hands and the profits go to Luxembourg. Well, maybe that's what Monaco wants to do right now because they're not getting the tourism industry. What I like about this is, one, it is aimed at encouraging commercial space. They're not developing a program of space missions. They want to encourage private companies to come to them. And I like it because that's popping up all across the world. All these third world countries are doing exactly the same thing. None of them are making their own programs. They're all trying to encourage private enterprise to come to their countries. That competition will prevent governments from taking over those private operations. And it also means commercial space will have many more outlets and venues to go to.
Bob, I'm wondering if commercial space is going to have details similar to the way it matters where you register your ship because of taxes. I'm wondering if that is the future. You know, a rocket registered in Monaco has a lighter tax burden and regulatory regime than one registered in the U.S. or something like that.
Well, there's going to be variations in that. We've already seen that. It's not so much for tax purposes, but maybe for business purposes. For example, Rocket Lab, almost its entire, not all of it, but most of its operation is in New Zealand, but they are registered as an American company. And because they do that because they're trying to get American defense contracts and American business. And if they register in New Zealand, it puts a block on that. And so you could have a lot of variations of this game. Luxembourg is an example of that. They've done that. They've made that happen. And so, yes, I think this is an international business that's beginning increasingly dominated by freedom and capitalism. And so under those venues, businesses are going to pick and choose the nation or bureaucracy that will serve them the best that they can legally go to.
If Roscosmos was a ship, I would say that it has a Jonah that explains everything that's happening to Roscosmos. They're making mistake after mistake. What's happened with the Soyuz?
All right. Well, this was prior to the return of the film crew. The capsule that they were supposed to come back to was going through its routine checkup prior to undocking. The crew was not in it yet. This is like the day before, but they do a number of procedures to make sure everything is working fine before they put the astronauts in it and return them to Earth. Well, they were doing this routine testing, and part of the testing is to fire the thrusters for a short burst to make sure they work. The problem was that when they fired the thrusters, they wouldn't turn off on command. They kept firing, and they could not shut them off. And they fired for, 30 minutes. And in the process, they flipped the station 57 degrees from its correct orientation. Eventually, the thrusters stopped, and it's, from what I could gather from the limited information released by Russians or NASA, it appears the firing stopped not because they finally succeeded in commanding them to shut off, but because they ran out of fuel. Now, subsequent after that, the Soyuz capsule did return to Earth with the three astronauts. Everyone was fine. The film crew's back on Earth, gloriously happy about their mission. But I have to tell you that for thrusters to fire like this, and this is now the second time this has happened from a Russian spacecraft attached to ISS in only the last, 2 months? Because the Nauka module did it just about a month ago. This is, as far as I know, the first time such a thing has happened in maybe a half century. I cannot remember anything like this where thrusters fired unexpectedly out of control since the Gemini 8 mission, which Neil Armstrong did a docking and then had to scramble to save himself and his co-astronaut, because one of the thrusters was flying out of control unexpectedly. And I don't remember, and that was 68, that was 65 when that happened. So that's more than than a half century ago. Yet the Russians have had it happen twice now in 2 months. There is something wrong. As I say, to paraphrase Shakespeare on Behind the Black, something is very rotten in Roscosmos, and I don't know what it is.
Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. When we come back, we're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.